Welcome back to another edition of Faith and Football. We're at the halftime of the United South PSJA North football game. Tonight's special guest is a brother in Christ. His name is Gabriel Herrera. Some of them call him Gabe. And good evening and welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So Gabriel is a graduate of Martin High School, and you're saying, well, this is a United South game. I said, yeah, well, now he lives walking distance to the high school.
Yeah, actually, the tennis courts face my backyard.
There you go. Yeah. So he's an honorary Panther because of his proximity to the school. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Gabriel. Married, children, et cetera?
Married, 8 kids total.
Oh, wow.
It's a combined family. 3 from my previous marriage and then remarried with 3 and then had 2 additional. So it's a large family.
It sure is. Did any of them go to South?
Yes. My son, Kike, my son, Richard, and hopefully George and Victoria will finish off there. Oh, my daughter, Cassandra, as well.
There you go. Gabriel, when I asked him, when I asked Gabe if he wanted to be my guest, he goes, you know, I don't know that much about football. I said, it's okay. We're not going to talk about football. We're going to be talking about the role that faith plays in your life. And he's like, oh, okay. Well, that works. That works. So after graduating from high school, you worked some jobs, but eventually you landed with one of the railway companies, with one of the railroads. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. I hired out for Union Pacific in March of 96. And after a beautiful career there, it came to an abrupt halt in June 1st of 2012 due to an injury.
And your life changed, I would think, dramatically or drastically after that.
Oh, yes, definitely. I didn't know what God had planned for me. And then all of a sudden now I'm running an automotive shop and trying to stay afloat. And it's been a blessing.
So when your career ended with the railroad, at that time, you weren't too much into the Catholic Church either, were you?
No. I was brought up in the faith, in the Catholic faith at Our Lady of Guadalupe. Mm-hmm. My parents and my grandparents lived across the creek from it, you know, from the church. But I never followed the faith till, I want to say, September of 2004. Mm-hmm. Went through some hard times with my first marriage and had an automobile accident that what experience I went through just confirmed my faith that there is something better out there for us.
So that started in 04, and then we fast forward to 2012, and you have this other injury with the railroad. What happened at that point in your life? Were you kind of bummed out? Did you go through a struggle, a difficulty?
I went through what you might want to say, you know, loss of faith, not knowing what was going to happen. Mm-hmm. Recently had purchased a home and raising 3 boys and not knowing where it was going to stem, you know, had a mortgage, truck payment, whatnot. But surrendering to God's will, you know, completely giving up the control and letting the Lord take over, you know, handing him the reins has been a true blessing.
And how did you get to that point? What changed in your life that allowed you to not only open your eyes, but maybe open your heart to this transition to turning your life over to God?
I want to recognize my compadres, Rubén Sánchez and Rick Sánchez, 2 brothers. Mm-hmm. They invited me to Mass at San Martín de Porres, where I wound up meeting a tremendous group of guys. Rick Valdez was especially one of them that reached out to me, had me live a retreat in 2016. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I became a parishioner at San Martin, but lived my retreat at Blessed Sacrament, where I got to meet another group of men, exceptional group of men, David Trevino, Blas Martinez, 2 Blas Martinez.
Longhorn and the Aggie.
Yeah.
That's how I distinguished them.
And Mike Garza and Polo and Hector. I mean, there's so many brothers that were there for me. And it just snowballed from there.
I mean, so that's the impetus for the change in your life, basically.
Yes.
And so after that, you go back home. Family members and friends you normally hung around with, did they kind of say, well, what happened to the old Gabe, or who's this new Gabe, or what are you talking about, Gabe?
Yeah, it's kind of funny. You know, the Lord touches you in a certain way mm-hmm. that you honestly think you're going to get the support from your closest family members or friends, and they're the ones that will chastise you and judge you because they know what you've been through, who you've been in the past.
They know your past, yes.
So with that said, you know, I kind of think to myself, well, they're talking behind my back. That means I'm ahead of them, so.
That's a good one. So in that process, I guess, like you say, they're chastising you, they're judging you, because we all have a past. What did you communicate to them? What was your message to them saying, yes, I know I have a past. I haven't been an angel all my life. But now this has changed in my life, and this is why.
Well, I'll try to put in an analogy. Our Lord Jesus Christ walked among sinners, thieves, prostitutes, beggars, people that needed him. He didn't sit with the righteous or the wealthy.
Right.
So with that said, I know that I have, you know, a Lord that watches over me, you, and anybody that seeks him. He's patiently waiting for us. You know, he's going to knock, and if you open the door, he'll receive you with open arms. But if you close your heart to him, don't expect a change.
Right. What role did the sacrament of reconciliation play for you?
The sacrament of reconciliation for me was something very difficult. I hadn't sat before a priest. You know, I always thought of it as another person that I was going to confess something that I had done in my past, not really realizing that I'm actually confessing to our Lord and Savior. Mm-hmm. And now reconciliation, I look forward to it. As a matter of fact, I've been needing to confess ever since the pandemic. We kind of fell out of place, right, not being right. as active and being restrained from going to Mass. And now I think of it, I mean, there's really no excuse. I mean, if you're able to hop in your vehicle and go to Walmart, go to HEB, and you're amongst hundreds of strangers, but yet you won't sit in a Mass and listen to the Word of God, well, then there's really no excuse.
Got to reprioritize.
Exactly.
So when you went, when you had the Sacrament of Reconciliation, was that in 2016 then? Was that your first one? And how long had it been since you'd been to confession?
Ever since my first communion.
Oh, my gosh.
I want to say 30-plus years.
Wow.
You know, I'm not that old. You know, I look old, but I'm really not that old.
He's younger than me, folks.
A lot of miles on cheap gas.
That's a good one, Gabe. So it'd been that long. Were you in there for a while, or did you do a little concise version, brief version?
let me enlighten you a little bit. I confessed while living the retreat, mm-hmm. and it was life-changing for me. I completely felt the weight of the world lifted from my shoulders. And you'll hear the expression, mi pecho no es bodega.
Right.
But yet, I'm living proof that what I confessed stayed there. You know, I'm able to have here this wonderful interview with you, and it's just proof that I did confess and that it stayed there. Nobody else knows about it but him.
There you go. You're listening to Gabe Herrera. He's our special guest tonight for Faith in Football. When we come back, we'll be talking more about the role that faith plays in his life. You're listening to Faith in Football. Welcome back to Faith in Football. Tonight's guest is Gabe Herrera. I've been sharing the role that faith plays in his life and talking specifically about his conversion back in 2016, having gone to confession for the first time in probably 30 years and receiving God's mercy. One of the things that I like to share with a lot of folks, sometimes men especially feel that there's no hope for them, but your living testament that there is and that God is all merciful. I always remind, I conduct a lot of retreat trainings for the ACTS teams, and I ask them, because part of it is not to judge anyone and to welcome them where they are in their journey to find Christ, for that encounter with Christ. And I'll ask, who was the first saint? And when I was asked that question, I answer, oh, the Blessed Mother. I thought I had the right answer, right? I'm like the student in class that raises the hand right away. And I was like, no, good guess, but no, it wasn't the Virgin Mary. And so I had forgotten what had transpired when Jesus was on the cross. And so you have two criminals, one to his right, one to his left. One is mocking him, right, saying, hey, if you're really, you know, the Messiah, save us. You know, you're all powerful. And the other one says, remember me in heaven.
Yes, and that really hits home in the sense that he didn't ask to be forgiven. He just asked to be remembered. And he says that I assure you that you will be with me in paradise. And so that's, you know, subjecting yourself to God's holy will completely.
And so that's St. Dismas, by the way. Y'all can take your little CCD notes.
Yeah.
So the first saint was a criminal, St. Dismas. And wow. And he took him to heaven that day.
Amen.
Contrite of heart. And like you said, because he believed. And that's all they ask of you. For those of you listening out there and haven't been to confession in a while, well, you might want to consider it.
Yes. As a matter of fact, I'm currently on team for San Francisco Javier, and I want to start off strong. And one of the first things that I need to do is sit before Father Toby and confess. That way I start off on the right foot.
Right.
That's the only way to do it.
There you go. Now, you split your time now. After this retreat, like you said, your life completely changed, and you followed a different path, and that following Jesus Christ. And so you spend a lot of time at different churches. I guess you're technically a parishioner at San Martin de Porres, but you go to Blessed Sacrament, you go to Guadalupe, Our Lady Guadalupe, you go to San Francisco Javier.
Yes, we're registered parishioners at San Martin. We were brought up in the faith, at Our Lady of Guadalupe. So I've always kind of leaned towards her. You know, she's our Blessed Mother. She's been there for me tremendously.
Right, right.
But I've served on team for Our Lady. I've served on team at Blessed Sacrament. I've served on team at San Francisco Javier, Santa Rita Acacia, Santa Monica. And it's just hard to say no to the Lord. You know, I get a phone call, and for me to say no, it's practically impossible. You know, I wish I could do more for the community, and I guess being here is part of it.
I think so. I'd agree with that statement, sharing your faith testimony. Do you find that really rewarding and fulfilling? Because it's a big commitment to be on a team.
Yes. For me, it helps me tremendously. You know, we're sinners, each and every one of us. You know, the minute we wake up, we're sinning. Whether it be in thought, mind, you know, and I struggle with it in all the sense, you know, like the song says, I'm a hard man to live with, you know, my wife, you know, helping me with the kids and, you know, running the shop, the automotive shop, and, you know, I kind of lose it, and she's been there with me every step of the way, so I'm truly blessed. So if it's not her that pushing me, it's our Lord, you know, sending me a message, whether I'm driving down the road and I'll see a sign, a bumper sticker, run into a friend. I hadn't seen you since the pandemic.
Right.
And we wound up seeing each other, you know, attending a funeral service
right.
for a dear loved one. And here we are a week later.
Small world.
Yes, it is.
Gabe, your father and my father are friends from many years ago. My father grew up in that neighborhood, too, in the Guadalupe neighborhood, La Guada, as they call it.
Yeah.
And you lost him not too long ago.
Yes, I lost my father May 20th of this year. It was a hard pill to swallow. He was and continues to be my hero, and his heart and soul was Martin High.
Right.
That's how come I asked you, are we going to, you know, be doing this interview over a Martin game, you know? That's my alma mater.
Right.
But,
our
alma mater. But, you know, given it's a Panther game, you know, a Panther's kind of it's in the cat family.
There you go.
But, yes, my dad fought since mid-February, and I don't want to say he lost, because I know in my heart that he's in paradise. So he won the race. He's now in the presence of our Lord and Savior. And I have, I'm good. I'm truly blessed. I got to spend my 50th birthday with him. 8 days later, the Lord called him home. With that said, you know, I think about him daily and truly miss him. I'm sorry.
It's okay. Don't worry. I've tissue.
I'm good.
Will you explain to our listening audience, will you tell us who your father's name and what he did? Because he touched the lives of many people while he was a teacher in high school.
Yes. My dad was an art teacher at Martin High. Used to be called Commercial Arts for VICA, Vocational Industrial Clubs of America. And throughout the years, it became advertising design. But it was all the same. He brought silkscreen to Laredo in the 70s.
There you go.
You know, I was born in 72, not here. I was born in Lansing, Michigan.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, my parents moved out there trying to seek a better life.
You saw me just stare at Bennett. We'll come back to that in just a second. But continue your story, please.
And in 75, my parents moved back to Laredo. And my dad was a graduate from Martin and then was a custodian from Martin and then eventually became a teacher there at Martin High. And he had a God-given gift that he passed on to so many. And I was one of those recipients. I know how to draw silkscreen, bumper stickers, political posters, all that. But God had a different route for me, you know. But everybody has a God-given gift. What we do with that gift is our gift back to God.
There you go. Choose to do good with it.
Amen.
I credit your father. Well, I think it's my dad that has told me this story about my cousin, Marky. And I'll just do his first name because I don't know that he wants me sharing his story. But my cousin Marky wasn't on the right path, if you'll say, until he took your dad's class.
Yes. My dad taught a vocational program. You know, students that had either a learning disability or were struggling, you know, trying to stay in school. And he touched a lot of lives. And I know one was Mark. And me and Mark go back years. And we've been through some rough times. Yeah. And we still remain friends. We don't see each other, you know, as we should. But my dad definitely touched Mark.
He saved his life, yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, my dad's name was Onesimo. And I've been going to church since my retreat in 16. And this past Sunday was a commissioning mass at San Francisco Javier. And my dad's name was mentioned in the second reading.
There you go.
And that just floored me. It's actually the reading of St. Paul to Philemon.
Right. Yeah, I picked up on that as well.
Yeah. So that's the Lord works in mysterious ways.
We're nearing the end of our segment. Unfortunately, we always run out of time. Things always get well. In closing, what would you like to share to those listening out there? I know a lot of folks like to publicize their activities. I know you take a different route.
Yeah, for me, at first, and I'll be truthful, at first you want to scream it to the world.
From the mountaintop.
Yes, like, run to church, go to church. And it's best to lead by action.
There you go.
You know, and for me, kind of stay reserved, and I just wait for the Lord to call, and I answer his call. I encourage all men, women, and teens to live a retreat. You know, they open back up, you know, due to the pandemic, and Acts has truly changed my life. And it's impacted my home, my oldest boys have lived it, my wife, my daughters, and I encourage everybody out there to do it. And if not, then at least go to church, listen to the Word of God.
You mentioned one of your favorite Gospels is Matthew chapter 6.
Yes.
Can you tell us, as we conclude, why what's one of your favorite Gospels?
Matthew chapter 6 refers to, you know, praying in private, in secret. Find a quiet place in your home, and what you do in secret, the Lord sees. You know, don't go preaching at the corners, outside the corner stores or at the
top
of your lungs.
So that others can see you.
Yes, exactly, because you don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing.
Right.
Don't boast about it. Just lead by action.
Be humble.
Yeah. That is the key word, humility. Be humble. Don't seek, you know, to look good in public.
Right.
You know, build your treasures in heaven. Don't build them here.
As we wrap up, just want to go back to that Lansing comment. You're not aware of this, but the Diocese of Laredo has a magazine called La Fe. Okay. And La Fe is, I like to say, the firstborn child of Faith Magazine, which is headquartered in the Diocese of Lansing, Michigan.
Wow.
God works in mysterious ways.
He does. Yes, he does.
And with that, it's been another episode of Faith and Football. When we come back, it'll be time for the second half of the United South and the PSJA North football game. My name is Goyo Lopez, and you're listening to 88.1 KHOY.